And welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Ethel is not just a person. It's a New York-based string quartet co-founded back in 1998 and been providing a lot of music in a lot of places ever since. They emphasize original music and works by notable contemporary composers. Ethel has performed, or members of the group have performed, with such entities as Bang on a Can, the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, the New York Chamber Symphony, and Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Project. And we have one of the founding members here, Dorothy Lawson, who's the cellist with the group, and also...
Hello, Norman. Thank you for having us.
You are so welcome to be had here, and thanks for coming in, because you're playing tonight at, that's 8 o'clock at the Shannon Theater on the campus of UW-Madison, and performing, I gather, often with you now is flutist Robert Maribal, who's also with us. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And you have of late been working quite a bit with Robert, who is a flutist, among other things.
Yeah. Within this, the ensemble, I play the Native American flute and sing and create. This particular project is called River. So the idea came from the concept of a flow and the concept of connection to indigenous cultures that are in and around rivers that have affected us, or rather have had some kind of influence in our lives, whether it be musically or personally. And so with me, I live on the Rio Pueblo in a small community of 2,000 people nestled under the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in northern New Mexico. And that, the Rio Pueblo, is based on so many different aspects of life, death, and humanity within my community from time immemorial, as they say. And so I brought that to these guys, and they started to think about what rivers have affected them. And so this is a connection and a collaboration that is not just music, but personal growth and inspirational growth between who and what we are and what we stand for.
And when you perform, there's a fair amount of improvisation involved. Is that the way it works?
Before we had another project called Music of the Sun. And that particular project, I think, had a little bit more improvisation in it. And this one is a little bit more tighter than that. There is some room for improvisation. However, once the compositions start, they follow a certain order. But not necessarily to the point where it's just so rigid that you're just like, okay, it's boring here.
Yeah. Yes, that can be a problem, can't it? Yeah. In classical music, too, there has long been a tradition of some improvisation, too.
Of course. We like to as
jazz.
Exactly. As a quartet, we've tried to bring that back, actually, the practice of both improvising classically trained performers and composers, people who create their own music, whether it's in the moment or in advance. I think, as Robert was describing, a lot of the music, even on tonight's program, is a little bit more like a jazz form. We've made certain decisions in advance, but the actual notes that fill it out are spontaneous and come from the heart, as they say.
Well, music, of course, is more diverse today than ever, but still certain people, certainly marketers, crave labels. Would you go so far as to put a label on what Ethel does?
Oh, God. Ethel, we've struggled with that for years, actually. It became very clear that until somebody has spent the time with you and actually heard what you're doing, in which case they often just feel spontaneously that they understand and that they've got their own word for it. But we tried to verbalize by saying, well, it's not your grandmother's string quartet. It's it's the old training, but with a new purpose. And much of our music is infused with either pop, rock, or jazz, or world musics. of our time, things that we hear regularly, the colloquial music of our time. But with the classical music structures, what we've come to more recently, I believe, is a one step on along the way was the string quartet of now. That's kind of an oblique shot. But we like to call it alternative concert music.
Okay.
Yes.
That leaves plenty of room for
alternative
imagination.
Alternative classical. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, we have a couple of pieces that Ethel has recorded. We'll get into that name after. But there's one here that's called Tuven Ride, and that refers to what, and what should we expect?
This one was composed by myself and the first violinist, Kip Jones. And both Kip and I, on different occasions, have traveled the Andes and have traveled in many different parts of the world and have been influenced not just by music or culture, but by the landscape. And so this, I just came back from a small little tour in South America and had this song based on the Inti Raymi, Celebration of the Sun melody that came with me on with the flute. And so then I started playing it for Kip, and Kip started saying, okay, well, you know, this is kind of what I've heard, and this is what I kind of vibed. And so it's a storytelling of movement, of things that we've seen and things that we felt. And so this is what this is, Tuven Ride.
We're featuring members of Ethel and flutist Robert Mirabal.
Thank you.
The name of that piece was Tuven Ride, and it featured members of Ethel, a string quartet, and flutist Robert Mirabal. And what kind of flute was involved in that, Robert?
It was a Native American flute made by myself and another flute maker named Brent Haynes from Utah. And all my instruments are based on a traditional formula, which was used by the ancient. We Taos Pueblo got the first this particular type of instrument through the Hrtsiet Oina. The Hrtsiet Oina are the old word for the wanderers, and the wanderers' names changed to Onenema, the warriors, when the horse culture came in. And so these particular instruments came through trade, through the different buffalo jumps that they had. Cheyenne hunting grounds were in southern Colorado, as well as with the Utes. And so there's some buffalo jumps that they would go to in the fall. So they had a huge trading with the southern Kiowas, the southern Cheyennes, and the Utes. And so it's more of a plains instrument. And so this formula is still used the same way, and it's except that now we do an A440, and it's a C sharp minor. It's a C sharp minor in A440.
I think the Cheyenne favored C sharp minor anyway.
Yeah, Ethel has had its own sort of insidious effect on Robert with the instruments, because you know we do play traditional Western instruments that have to accommodate the intonations.
So before we forget about Ethel, now I've seen this, the name of your quartet in all caps, and I've seen it, in a more traditional way, but there's nobody in the quartet, nobody who founded the quartet named Ethel, so where does that come from?
Ethel was an inspirational, just a kind of a character we fell in love with. And when we began back in 1998, it was almost understood that anybody coming from classical music was going to use a very, very respectful and serious name and probably reference a composer or a philosopher or something like that. And we had already decided that our mission was going to be to represent composers of our own cohort, our friends, our time. And nobody would ever know any of their names. Now, of course, it has happened. They are arrived. But at that time, they were all quite new. And we didn't want people walking into a concert expecting the old canon. We wanted to just let people know that they weren't going to hear Schubert. And so we chose a name rather than giving ourselves a title. And the original Ethel came to us from the movie Shakespeare in Love.
No kidding.
Yeah, which people might remember from the 90s. It's a really charming movie, and it's quite funny. And there's a great moment where Shakespeare is struggling to finish a big play that he's got a commission for, and he just can't connect with the working idea. So he's not able to finish because it's supposed to be a comedy called Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter.
Oh, yes.
And right. We realized that as a string quartet, everybody expects us to walk out and be Romeo, the serious, protagonist, the hero. Huh? And we're really Ethel the Pirate's Daughter. That's exactly who we are. So she came to us.
Okay. So is it the Ethel Quartet, or are you just Ethel who happens to be a quartet?
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another one here, which will get us pretty close to our quiz question. And this one is called Chant. And what do we expect to hear in this?
This is a song based on a song from Hawaii. It's a children's song that every kid who grows up over there knows. And it is beautiful to improvise on because it only has two notes.
Plenty of latitude there. Okay, here it is. This is Chant, performed by Ethel. Thank you. The name of that one, Chant, and it featured members of Ethel, a string quartet with a traditional configuration of cello, viola, and two violins, but also with Native American flutist Robert Mirabal, who is with us, as is the cellist with Ethel, Dorothy Lawson, and they're performing tonight, 8 o'clock, Shannon Theater. That's at the Memorial Union, UW-Madison. And before you take off and we get into the quiz question and all that, I have to ask then how did you, as this kind of New York-based outfit, connect with Robert, who is New Mexico?
Yes. Well, one opportunity that came our way was to build a more theatrical style of program for the Brooklyn Academy of Music in New York City. And as part of that, we offered to host a group of master artists from diverse cultures all across America with the string quartet to demonstrate to the audience the experience of communicating through music when we didn't share each other's languages. And so it took a while, but the very first person we reached out to was Robert Mirabal.
Well, congratulations on a great find.